This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is our weekly soccer show, usually a little bit earlier, but a huge college basketball game tonight. But in this show, we will talk about soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, all over the Western Hemisphere, all over the planet. Honestly, it's what we do here on AST. We're going to go to Africa and talk about the African Cup of Nations tonight. We're going to go to the Premier League in England. We're going to get into that. We're actually going to go to Saudi Arabia to talk about the Spanish Supercopa. I'll explain it in a little bit. That'll all come up in the 3-4-3. That's how we close out the show. But the real topic tonight is kind of laying the groundwork for Major League Soccer. Starting training camp next week, Atlanta United will start its training next week on Monday the 12th. That'll be the first day that media will be available to attend in Marietta, the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground. We've got some big things planned for y'all next week as well, with some shows broadcasting live from the facility. I will have a special Atlanta Soccer Tonight next Friday to kind of recap the first week of preseason training. But we know it's not just one team that we're going to talk about when it comes to MLS. Of course, we're going to have a heavy Atlanta United focus, but I've got to help get you ready for the season as a whole. 30 teams. You can start to kind of identify some tiers in the league. And I think that's one of the biggest things that as you go into this 30th anniversary of the first season of Major League Soccer, I think the league has started to separate a little bit. And look, we're used to this, right? When we talk NBA, when we talk NFL, when we talk Major League Baseball, major college sports, you get different levels to it. And you have your blue bloods, your elites that are always expecting to win a championship. You have tiers below that, though. You have teams that are just going to be at the back end of the group. And then usually you've got a couple different levels, at least, in the middle. You've got an upper half that are playoff teams that if things go right for them, they can be in the mix to win something big at the end of the year. And then you've got the other group that's kind of trying to scrap into the playoffs. I think what's so interesting as we go into 2026 when it comes to Atlanta United is this is year 10 for Atlanta United. And which tier are they in? Are they in the top tier? I don't think you can put them there anymore. Not right now. I think they can get back there. They were there. But right now, they haven't been in that mix consistently for a little while. But then where do they fall in the other three tiers? The B, C, and D. They're not in the D. I think last year they were in terms of where they finished. But where do they fit in the middle two tiers? And can they level up in 2026? That's the question. And Atlanta's not the only team facing this question. DC United is facing this question. Others around the league are facing this question. The LA Galaxy went from tier one winning the title in 2024 to being one of the worst teams in 2025. Now, a major injury was a big part of that, and that injury is going to affect their 2026 season as well. There is always movement among the tiers in any league, in any competition, when we start to break this down. Who's going to move which way in 2026? We'll get the lay of the land across Major League Soccer coming up on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Stay with me. I'll be back on the other side of the hour to get you ready for 2026 in MLS and beyond. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be back in just a few minutes on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Definitely pirate radio style this evening after college basketball on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're going to set the table for MLS and beyond in 2026. And just before we start jumping into the Eastern Conference and MLS with training camps opening next week, this is an epic year for soccer in Atlanta in the United States. It's year 10. For Atlanta United, I can't believe we've been talking about Atlanta United matches for that long. I can't believe the preseason game against Lexington coming up here at the end of the month will be the first broadcast of the 10th season of Atlanta United. It's just, it still feels like it was yesterday at Bobby Dodd Stadium back in 2017. That's really big. There's this little thing called the World Cup that's coming to Atlanta with 8 matches, including the second semifinal. That's, you know, kind of a big deal. It all really gets rolling with the Atlanta United season, but then in March, the U.S. men's national team playing 2 friendlies here against top teams in the world in Belgium and Portugal. Tickets available for both of those matches late in March. It'll be your last chance before the group is finalized to play in the World Cup for the United States. It is just a massive year for soccer here and in the country, and I can't wait to be sharing all of it with you here on AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Make sure you are subscribed to the Off the Woodwork podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. All of our soccer content goes there. So when players, coaches, administrators jump on with Dukes and Bell, with Andy and Randy, with the Morning Shift, with the Steakhouse, you can hear them in the Off the Woodwork podcast. You can get that on the Odyssey app. You can also get it wherever you get your podcasts, along with Atlanta Soccer Tonight, along with Atlanta Soccer Flashback, along with the SDH Week in Review as well. All kinds of huge content all year long. Now, let's get into Major League Soccer and the Eastern Conference in 2026. Camps open next week. Most teams, players are reporting on Saturday the 10th, getting on the pitch on the 12th. We will see Atlanta United in action on the 12th in Marietta. When I look at the Eastern Conference, there's a few big storylines that jump out to me. Number one, Inter Miami. They are trying to defend their title, and they are not being shy about it. Number two, Philadelphia. They are reinventing, in a way, a Supporter Shield winner, which isn't a move you see happen very often. Number three, DC United making moves, spending money like a club that's tired of being where they've been in that bottom tier for too long. Number four, Atlanta United trying to level up in the tiers and get back to that top tier and back to the top of the table and turning to someone in Tata Martino who has had this club in that top tier in MLS. And number five, just coaching identities mattering more than ever before, in my opinion. Let's start with Miami. They are your defending MLS Cup champions. It's looking a lot less like a reload and looking more like a re-engineering of a really good side already. The latest piece of that puzzle tonight from Tom Bogert and The Athletic looks like Inter Miami are very close to getting the permanent deal done to retain winger Tadeo Allende from Celta Vigo in Spain. They had him on loan last year. Looks like that move is going to get done. And it's going to be huge on two fronts. First off, on the field. He's coming off of a historic season. He set an MLS record for goals in a single postseason, helped carry Miami to MLS Cup across all competitions, 24 goals at 26 years old. That kind of production, you're going to go out and spend money to keep him in your group on a permanent basis. Now, what makes this move even more important is structurally. The thought was that if you were going to go get this deal done with Celta Vigo in Spain, you were going to have to pay up enough money to put him into a designated player slot. According to the reports from Tom Bogert and Paul Tenorio at The Athletic, he will not be a designated player. Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba have now retired. That means two designated player spots opened up. One of those is spoken for with Rodrigo De Paul, now on a permanent deal after a transfer was triggered with Atletico Madrid. So if Tadeo Allende is not a designated player and Miami still went out and brought in Dane St. Clair and Facundo Mora on the back line and Sergio Reguilón to help offset the departure of Jordi Alba and they get Tadeo Allende and they still have a designated player spot open, whew, you still got Lionel Messi. Yeah, he's a year older. He's still Messi. You got Rodrigo De Paul, who I think has calibrated to what the challenge is in MLS. You get Allende with even more confidence, and you go get another designated player, and you have a top goalkeeper in Dane St. Clair, and you keep Rocco Rios Novo as a reserve. This group feels better on paper, and not in a reckless way of just going out and signing guys and wondering if it meshes together. Hello, Liverpool, we're talking about you. Miami feels like they addressed some weak areas. They had to go out and replace some people because you had some people that were going to leave and you had some people retiring. If you go get Allende and he's not a designated player and you go get another designated player and you get younger with Mura and with Reguilón and you get better in goal with St. Clair, it's going to be tough to knock off Miami. We've seen it happen before. It can happen. That's the beauty of Major League Soccer. The playoffs are the great equalizer. The chaos of the league is the great equalizer. But Miami is looking very, very good. Philadelphia was very good during the regular season last year. They kind of head up that second tier. You could put them in the first tier since they won Supporters Shield last year. That's fine. However, Kai Wagner, gone. Jacob Glesnes, gone. Ty Baribo, gone. You could say those three players were their best three players last year. Now, they have spent a club record fee on striker Ezequiel Alado. They've added Finn Sundstrom. They've added Gainer Martinez. I want to see how different they look in year two under Bradley Carnell. Year two for Bradley Carnell in St. Louis was a problem. Now, Philadelphia did not come in and shock anybody under Bradley Carnell, except the fact that they were very, very good after they had not been the year before under Jim Curtin. But stylistically, it wasn't a shocking thing. Are they going to be more dynamic? Are they going to be more vertical? Are they going to be better with the ball? That's the question for me. They still need another attacker, in my opinion. Quinn Sullivan is out injured for most of the season. They're going to have to go help there. Owethu Makanya, I think he's a very good center back. He's starting to get some interest from clubs around the world. Do they have enough depth behind him? Not really, not with Glesnes gone. So what does that look like? They still have work to do in preseason. Let's go to DC United. I mentioned that they are looking a little different. They have went out and added Luis Montano, a Romanian designated player, club record fee to bring him in. They got Ty Baribo from Philadelphia. They went up to Jersey and brought Sean Nealis down to stabilize the back line. They went up to Toronto by way of Brookwood High School, and they went and added Sean Johnson in the back end goal to bring some leadership. They've added a defender from the J League, Keisuke Kurikawa. That modernizes the left side of the field. You get Rene Wheeler, their manager. He is there for a full season. Now he gets a preseason. This team looks like it will be different. You've got speed. You've got athleticism. You've got verticality. You've got more aggressiveness. DC, their roster needs more help than one window can probably solve. But man, this is a really good window for DC United straight out of the gate. They're looking at least like a playoff team in 2026. And that's a big step for a team that has not been very good over the past few years. Chicago had been that previously. They turned that around really quickly under Greg Berhalter last year. They're looking better. They're adding one of the top young center backs out of Africa, the South African national team player, Imbokazeli Imbokazi, a very talented player who had a very good African Cup of Nations with South Africa. They went out and added Robin Lode from Minnesota. Big addition there. Now, they have lost Brian Gutierrez. He's gone to Chivas in Liga MX. But Greg Berhalter looks like he has more talent to work with in 2026. I think they'll be better than they were. Look, this is on paper right now, but it's looking better right now for Chicago. So then you get to Atlanta United, and we start to have this conversation about, okay, you want to climb up the ladder in the East. You're going to have to jump some teams. Who's going to fall, and who are you going to jump? I think DC is going to be better than they were last year. Is Toronto, is Montreal, New England, are these teams going to be better? Is Columbus going to fall backwards without Wilfred Nancy? I don't know. It really feels very jumbled past the top three, four teams in the East. But with Atlanta United, look, the mission is very simple. Get back to the top of the table. Can you do that in one window? Can you do that in one season with Tata Martino? It's asking a lot. But this team on paper, and you're bringing back quite a few players from last year, on paper, underperformed the talent level that everyone expected when we saw that roster come together ahead of the 2025 season. They were picked to be a contender for the title. They were not. You're bringing back most of the key figures. Can Tata Martino get more out of them? That is the biggest question going into preseason. You didn't bring him back for nostalgia. You didn't bring him back for sentiment. You brought him back to ask the question, can he get this team on the field back to what it was when he left at the end of 2018 with a trophy in his hand? The tools are there. He's got three designated players. Miguel Almiron, he knows him extremely well. It's not the same Miguel Almiron that he was in 2018. But Tata Martino knows who he is, knows what he can be. I'll be very curious to see how he uses the 2026 Miguel Almiron. Alexi Maranchuk, and to me, this is where the conversation needs to be a lot more honest than it has been. The production numbers were good. The quality was a whole lot better than the narratives would lead you to believe. His influence on matches and on this team went beyond pure output. In a clearer structure, I think there's a whole lot more there. And don't get hung up on the positions. I know we're going to do this thing all preseason about who's going to play in the middle? Who's going to play wide? Who's going to be the 10? Watch where the game has gone in the last 5 years, especially about flying eights and tens and two tens and two eights and two sixes and 1 10 and 1 6 and 2 8s and 2 6s and 1 8 or 2 6s and 2 8s. Yeah, it's a whole lot of mumbo jumbo. Good soccer players are going to figure out how to play. And I think we saw later in the season, Miguel Almiron and Alexi Maranchuk start to understand one another better. Now, neither one can carry this team on their own the duo can't carry this team on their own because somebody's got to put the ball in the back of the net. And Lotte Lott is the big question coming into preseason. The output last season did not match the trajectory of his career. In this system, with the expectations on him, that can't happen again. The goals have to be there. You have to get more production from the forward position for everything to work for this team, flat out. If you don't, it's going to be a struggle. Beyond those three, the foundation is somewhat set. At least we know what positions are open. We know where things are going to go. Bartosz Lisz was Atlanta United's best player last season. Not about scoring goals, not about a bunch of assists. The best player on the field. That was Bartosz Lisz. His partnership with Steven Alzate, I think we saw some very strong glimpses of that. We need to see Steven Alzate with a full preseason paired with Sleesh and what that can look like. If that's your pairing, I like the combination of it. The next question is the fourth member of the attacking group. If you play 4-3-3 and you have Almiron Maranchuk behind Lotte Lott, you're going to need one more in there. Is it Saba Lobjanidze? Is it Luke Brennan? Is it somebody else entirely? You've got to get some production out of that spot. Now, could it be a rotation and you're getting production from a group of people? Sure. That's not as easy to do. You need production out of the fourth attacking player. No question. Defensively, center back. You've got three pretty good ones in Steon Gregersen, in Anaya Mihai, and in Juan Bettercall. Gregerson's got to stay healthy. Mihai, Bettercall. We saw them in the second half of last season. Down the stretch, Bettercall. He's trying to earn a full-time transfer because his loan from Getafe is up in the summer. Mihai, I thought, was very good. All three have been good. What's the best duo, and can they stay healthy? That's going to be the question. At fullback, Atlanta United has already added Tomas Jakob. Very intriguing piece. He can play as a center back. He can play as a right back. He's even played some as the six. He gives you a lot of flexibility, and he gives you a very comfortable way if you feel like three center backs is going to be the way to go with this group. Gives you a very comfortable way to do it. I don't know if you're going to see a 3-4-2-1 for sure with Atlanta United in 2026, but that would solve some issues when you talk about how to fit all the pieces together and maybe get the most out of them with two tens in Almiron and Maranchuk behind Lotte Lott in front of Sleesh and Alzate. Now you're going to need some wingbacks who cover a lot of ground to get a lot done, especially in the attacking portion of the field. Can Jakob be that? Can Pedro Amador or someone else be that on the left side? We're going to have to find out. And goalkeeper, look, that's the other question. We usually don't have this question. Lucas Hoyos and Jaden Hibbert. Veteran in Hoyos. Hibbert, we saw him play at the end of last season. Is he ready to be the number one? Who's going to win that spot? That will be a competition in preseason. It's going to be about returning to an identity for Atlanta United. Other stories quickly in the rest of the East. Michael Bradley has taken over at the New York Red Bulls. They will be a little different. They'll tweak their DNA just a bit. Cade Cowell comes in from Chivas. That's a really good addition for them. Orlando City's going to look different in the back. Maxime Crepeau will be in goal instead of Pedro Galese. They're looking to move on from Luis Muriel as well. Charlotte, they have added Luca De La Torre, who comes over from La Liga. He was with San Diego last year, but they couldn't get a permanent deal done with him. We'll see if Liel Abada moves on there. They have lost a little bit in the back with Milanda gone to England. That will be tough to overcome. Toronto, they've added Walker Zimmerman, another old friend from the Atlanta area. Brings them some leadership. Club de Foot Montreal, they have extended a few people. They've added a couple of small pieces, but they haven't made any big, big moves. So in the East, Miami is going to set the standard. Philadelphia, can they be really good in the regular season again? Beyond that, you got a lot of questions. Cincinnati's one that we're looking at. What are they going to look like? Columbus, what are they going to look like? A lot of questions in the East that'll get sorted out over the next month before we get to opening day. After the break, we will come back and we'll go out west. We'll set the table in the Western Conference in Major League Soccer in 2026. Stay with us, Atlanta Soccer. Tonight, we'll be back on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It is Soccer Pirate Radio after midnight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, getting you ready for the 2026 Major League Soccer season. We talked about the Eastern Conference. Last segment, let's go out west. Got a couple of stories here that are big threads. What happens when a top star goes down, and we saw last year what happened. What happens when it's year two of that star not being available? We'll talk about the LA Galaxy. What happens when you get new coaches in new places like Colorado, like St. Louis, like Kansas City? And what happens when expansion success goes into year two? We've seen it go two completely different ways. What will San Diego look like in 2026? Let's start at the team that I think could be at the top of the table when all is said and done, although they have a new manager as well. Los Angeles Football Club, LAFC. They have added Jacob Schaffelberg, a player that I've always really appreciated, from Nashville. Now he is at LAFC. So that front line, with Danny Boanga, with Sun Heung-min, and with Jacob Schaffelberg. Speed, quickness, transition, whoo! Not a team you want to get in a track meet with. Mark Dos Santos is the new manager. Steve Cherundolo frustrated me at times. And we've talked about this on AST. We've talked about it in Soccer Down here as well. I think Steve Cherundolo, during his time in charge of LAFC, got more and more conservative. And I think when we talk about LAFC, there's still a little bit, just like with Atlanta United, there's still a little bit of a casting them as we first saw them. You know, a lot of people, when we even talk about Tata Martino's first era with Atlanta United, people think of how it looked early on in 2017 and not how it looked in the playoffs in 2018. Very different, more conservative. That happens. Some managers, that's what happens. Orlando has typically always done this with Oscar Pereja. They've gotten more conservative as the year has gone on. So LAFC, when we first saw them on the field, and you first saw that brand that was actually just award-winning in the World Football Awards as one of the best brands in the world's game, which is a very huge compliment to what's been created there. When we think about what we first saw with LAFC, under Bob Bradley, it was very in-your-face, attack-minded, all gas, no brakes. And it felt like he had a chip on his shoulder to say, I can do this my way, and I'm not gonna get conservative, when maybe he needed to a little bit. Okay? Steve Cherundolo comes in. And it started to evolve differently. Now, they won an MLS Cup under Steve Cherundolo, but I always felt like the governor was on too tight there. And it just felt like they couldn't fully open up. I want to see what Mark Dos Santos does. Is this team going to want more of the ball? Is this team going to be more dominant in a different way? Are they going to have control, which is something they didn't always have under Bob Bradley? They had it under Cherundolo, but are they going to have control and more of the ball in the attack? With Schaffelberg, they could. I'm really curious to see what Mark Dos Santos does with this team. Let's stay in Los Angeles, mention the LA Galaxy. Ricky Pooch, the bad news for him and for Galaxy fans, he is undergoing another anterior cruciate ligament surgery. It's really sad for him. His season in 2024 is one of the best in MLS history. Just an unbelievable year that saw him in the postseason injure his knee for the first time. He had surgery, he had been rehabbing it, and now he's had to have another surgery. If he's placed on the season-ending injury list, which he likely will be, I don't think that is fully determined yet, then the Galaxy can use that designated player spot. Now, it gets tricky if they expect Pooch to be back in 2027. Then you have three designated players already, and then you're getting Pooch back. It's tough. You'd like to just deal with that when you get there, because I don't know what the expectations will be in 2027 for Ricky Pooch after being off the field for 2 years. They have added two defenders. One of their big issues last year was defensively. They've added Jacob Glesnes from Philadelphia. They've added Justin Hack from NYC, who had a really good year there playing in the back. They still are going to have to figure out how to replace Pooch, and they didn't really replace Dejan Jovetic either last year when he went to Kansas City. They've got to sort that out. They've got the money. They've got the ability to go out and spend. Let's see what the Galaxy end up looking like when we get to opening day. And honestly, maybe the question will be what the Galaxy look like after the World Cup. Now, let's talk expansion reality. San Diego, unbelievable year one. They won the West in the regular season, a great record for them. We've seen year two go very different ways. Think back to Atlanta, 2017, year one. It was a very good year, knocked out in a penalty shootout after maybe the best scoreless draw that I've ever seen. I think I would definitely say the best scoreless draw that I've ever called. Just an incredible match that ended up needing penalties. Columbus knocked Atlanta out at the end of year one. Year two, Atlanta wins MLS Cup. But then look at St. Louis. Year one, they were great. Best team in the West. Really good team. Now, it did fade as that year went on, and it never came back. You started year two with St. Louis, and it just kept fading and fading and fading, and ultimately you make a coaching change in the middle of that season. And now the architects of that, your manager and your sporting director and quite a few of your key players in St. Louis, are already gone after year three. What is San Diego going to look like in year two? I think they're much better positioned to be successful. Lewis Morgan, they add from the New York Red Bulls. David Vasquez, they make that deal permanent. He was on loan from Philadelphia. Mikey Veras probably learned a few things in his first year as a club manager. I would expect he'd be better in year two. I think this team will be better. What does Chucky Lozano look like in year two? Do you completely smooth over some of the issues you had with him in the postseason? It sounded like it got sorted out. Did it really get sorted out? San Diego's not going to surprise anybody in year two, but can they be functionally better on the field? We're going to find out. That's one of my really big questions as we start to look at 2026. Look, stability in the West, you look at Seattle Sounders. They re-signed Paul Rothrock. There was talk about him possibly leaving. They add a couple of State of Washington guys in Ryan Saylor, who played in college at Washington, and Hassani Dotson, who's from Federal Way. They went out and added good pieces, and they kept Rothrock, who I think was a very important piece to keep. They're good. They are right underneath, I think, LAFC. They're right underneath Vancouver, who is going to look pretty similar. They did sell Ali Ahmed to Norwich City. Vancouver will have to, again, they're not going to surprise anybody this year after they surprised everybody last year. They should have Ryan Gold healthy the whole year. That would help them a lot. Vancouver and Seattle should be very good. LAFC should be very good. Will San Diego be as good? Will the LA Galaxy be competitive? And then what of the new managers? Colorado Rapids with Matt Wells coming over after an assistant job in the Premier League. How does that look for him? I think he's still building what he wants this team to look like. They've added Dante Seeley, a nice piece. What is Matt Wells' soccer going to look like in the Mile High City? St. Louis, talked about them earlier. Yohan Dame comes over from Columbus. He was one of the assistants with Wilfred Nancy. He's been an interim a couple of times with Cincinnati. He's still young. Very good in what he has done so far up to this point in his career. What is his brand of soccer going to look like in St. Louis? Because Wilfred Nancy soccer versus what we saw in St. Louis when they launched, extremely different. And I said it then, and I'll say it again now. I feel like St. Louis, one, has a soccer identity as a city. This is one of the great soccer cities in the United States. It was one of the cities that brought the game forward in the soccer dark ages. We're talking about the 50s and the 60s and into the 70s and the 80s. You've had so many great players come from St. Louis. They know their soccer in St. Louis. And while they understand and probably appreciate it when it's working, the low possession, high pressure soccer that Lutz Pfannenstiel tried to build and Bradley Carnell implemented successfully for a year and then it went away, I don't think that matches what St. Louis as a soccer city wanted in the same way. Yohan Dame, I think, is going to have them have more possession while still maintaining elements of that pressure. It'll be more in a counter press when they lose possession. I think that's going to suit the city more. I think it's going to make the city fall in love with this team a little bit more past the idea of just having a team. So I'm fascinated to see what Yohan Dame does in St. Louis. He's got to get the players that suit what he wants to do, though. That's number one. Kansas City. They went out and hired Rafael Vicky. He comes over from Switzerland. They've added Justin Reynolds. They've added Stephen Cleveland. Now Kansas City is into a brand new era after Peter Vermes was there forever. What is Vicky going to look like in Kansas City? I don't know if you can say because he wasn't successful in Chicago that he won't be successful in Kansas City. I think it's two different situations. He'll have more resources for sure in Kansas City. He was a little underwhelming in Chicago. That does have to be said. His experience in Switzerland has been pretty good. What is he going to look like with more resources at his disposal? That's my question. And Kansas City, they've got Dejan Jovetic, a very, very good striker. What does the rest of that group look like? They've got to upgrade the roster, and that's going to define what this team is. Austin, they have been pretty bold in the offseason. They had a good year last year. I think in some ways they were a little underwhelming with how much they spent in the attack. and the attack really wasn't great for them. It started to come together later. One of the big reasons why the attack was better as the year went on was Owen Wolf and his development. They have signed him to a new deal using the U22 initiative, which I love that they're doing this, signing him to a new deal after his initial homegrown deal to reward good play and use that U22 initiative to still keep your cap hit low. Love the work there in doing that. I think going out and adding Joseph Rosales and adding Jaden Nelson and adding John Bell, really good, smart additions for Austin. It's very early. Teams haven't even gotten on the field yet in preseason. There's going to be a lot of moves during preseason training and even after the season start. Austin could be one of the biggest jumps in quality and in points in the standings in 2026. I really like what they've done so far. Dallas hasn't really done a whole lot. They've signed some homegrowns. They added Ron Benjamin on a U22 deal. We'll see. Portland, they went out and added Brandon Bye, I think one of the best free agents that was available. That is a very good move for them. I want to see what Phil Neville does with that group next year. Minnesota is another one that is a fascinating one as we wrap up the Western Conference. You lose Dane St. Clair, but you go out and you add Drake Callender. Okay, good. They went out and they added Tomas Csonkalai. They went out and they added Peter Stroud. Two good pieces. They lost Rosales. That's going to hurt them. My question for Minnesota is, can they be more expansive with the ball? I think the defend and counter idea can raise your floor, but I think ultimately it lowers your ceiling. Can they be more than that under Eric Ramsey this year? Csonkalai can add some quality. I think he's a very good player. Stroud, he's another player that I really liked. He played in a defend first, very different kind of defend first, but defend first with the Red Bulls. But he showed that quality on the ball. Two nice players. Can they be more inspiring? Can Minnesota try to do a little bit more with the ball? You don't have to be possession heavy to be better with the ball. I mean, this was a team in Minnesota that you're talking around 30% possession. That's very low. Can you get up to about 40? Can you dictate the game a little bit more? I think that would really help Minnesota United. Western Conference, who's going to handle adversity? Can the LA Galaxy do that with Ricky Pooch likely out for the entire 2026 season? Who's going to manage, I think, different expectations best? Like San Diego, can they avoid what happened to St. Louis in year two? Can they improve like Atlanta did in year two? Which of the new managers in Colorado and St. Louis and Kansas City, which of them, LAFC, I think, can fall into this too? Who finds their identity the fastest? And who just continues to be tough to beat, like Seattle, like Vancouver? Who has that consistency? I think LAFC goes in as the favorites. I wouldn't be surprised if Austin is in that mix. I wouldn't be surprised if Vancouver is in that mix. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle is in that mix. I think the West is different than the East in the sense that in the East, it feels like it's Miami's to lose. In the West, it feels like there's about four, five, maybe six teams that could win it. It doesn't feel like there is one above the rest. Sets up for a really fun season in MLS. But coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, three local stories, four headlines from all over the world, three things that make me smile. The 3-4-3 coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's time for the 3-4-3 on AST, Pirate Radio style. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me late night tonight, Wednesday morning, Tuesday night. It all blends together at this point, but it's three local stories. It's four headlines. It's three things that make me smile about this game that we've been talking about for the last hour. Let's get into it. It's brought to you, as always, by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. We start at home. Number one, Atlanta United. Preseason schedule is out. Everything starts to feel real now, doesn't it? Four preseason matches announced, a return to the training ground next week. I don't know. It feels like a normal schedule again next week. It's been weird not going to training over these past month, 2 months or so. I'll be back there on Monday. Preseason begins on Saturday. The first open session to media is on Monday, January 12th. I believe we will have some 92.9 coverage later in the week, so stay tuned. And I'll have a special AST because I won't be next Tuesday due to Hawks basketball out on the West Coast. So I will have a Friday edition of AST to recap week one of Atlanta United preseason. So after that first week in Atlanta, the team will then head to Florida. They'll go to FIU for most of the rest of January, but then they'll come back, and the first preseason game is on Friday, January 30th, against Lexington Sporting Club at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Training Ground. It will be open to media. It will not be open to the public. It will be streamed live at atlutd.com/live. Mike Conti and I will have the call for you. Game will start at 11 a.m. on Friday. Then they go to Texas. They will be in the inaugural Torneo de Tejas. It's hosted by FC Dallas and the Houston Dynamo. February 7th, they'll play the Dynamo. February 11th, they'll play the Red Bulls. And February 14th, they will play Dallas. Then it's the home, or it's the season opener, not at home, not for the first week, couple weeks. Saturday, February 21st, they will be on the road at FC Cincinnati. Can't wait to get everything started. Number two. Maybe another new face. We've talked about Tomas Jakob. We've talked about Lucas Hoyos. We've talked previously about Santiago Pita and his new homegrown deal. But now there are rumors linking Atlanta United to Elias Baez from San Lorenzo in Argentina. He would be a U22 signing. It's looking like around $3 million to get a deal done. He was linked with River Plate earlier in December. 21 years old. He's a defender that is trusted. He's played a lot of minutes at San Lorenzo at a young age. Didn't break in with a lot of hype. He just got the job and has been reliable. He was one of the most used players in the squad. He was one of the most used players in the league last year. Just a solid defender on the left side. Didn't rotate out, kept playing, kept getting time. He's somebody that Tata Martino would know. Tata Martino's people would know him very well. His mentality is a big thing. People at San Lorenzo describe him as grounded, as professional, as grateful. A player who earns the minutes that he gets. He doesn't come to expect them, he earns them. That fits what Tata Martino is going to want as he tries to instill the right culture with Atlanta United. We'll see if the deal gets done. It's not done yet, but it sounded more positive today than it did previously. Rumors from the Argentine media, and then Tom Bogert chimed in to said that it was getting closer today. Number three, just in case you missed it, it's just weird and unusual and strange, and Atlanta United's involved in it, although there's really not much they can do at this point. Botafogo, remember, they agreed to pay money for Thiago Almada. Well, they didn't pay that money. And now they are on the FIFA ban list, finally, for having not paid it. It was $21 million, was the reports in January or July of 2024. Atlanta United hasn't been paid. It was installments that were supposed to start getting paid. Botafogo defaulted. They didn't pay those. It's no longer a gray area and a dispute with the Court of Arbitration for Sport. FIFA ruled in Atlanta United's favor. The Court of Arbitration for Sport upheld that ruling. Botafogo lost the appeal in December. They went on the ban list on December 31st. They are banned from registering new players for the next three transfer windows. This is real. Now, what happens next? Does Atlanta United get their money? Well, they have to for Botafogo to come off the ban list. If they do, then Botafogo immediately comes off the ban list and can sign players. They need to sign players. Their season domestically starts in the state leagues of Brazil in January and February and March. They might be able to try to deal with this a little bit longer. John Texter, who is the owner in Botafogo, it's very complicated. He has a company, Eagle Football Holdings, that he doesn't actually control anymore because of everything breaking down with him and other people on the board at Lyon in France, and that ties into it. It's extremely complicated. He has reportedly been trying to raise money to buy Botafogo back out of the company that he started that he no longer controls. Yeah, that's where this stands. So if he gets that money, does he then end up paying Atlanta United so Botafogo can sign players? Yes, Atlanta United's got to get paid. For Botafogo to be able to add players, Atlanta United has to get paid. So they will. How long can Botafogo draw it out or try to find money? I think they've got a couple of months, honestly. Like, it's not going to affect Atlanta United's business. Don't worry about that. But they'd like their money, and they'll get it because, again, Botafogo has to register players. They have to find a way out of this. So they have to pay up. When? They can still dance for a little while. We'll just have to wait and see. Let's go to the headlines from all over the world. Number one, you had a whole slew of managerial changes over the last week. Manchester United, Chelsea, Celtic. Oy. Ruben Amorim. You know, it never got going. It got better, but it never really got going. And I think as reports have come out after he was sacked, I think it's pretty clear he wasn't happy. It's pretty clear he thought he was going to get different things from the board, and they were just over it. Even though the ownership had said he was going to get 3 years to make it work. Well, not too long after, maybe 3 months after that was said, he's gone. That's a problem. When you promise big things and you talk big about vision and identity, and then you don't actually see it through, that's a problem. Should Ruben Amorim have stayed the full 3 years? I don't know. He got a little bit better, but not that much. So, I mean, sure, you can make the argument that, no, he probably should have made the move at the end of this year. 2 years, two seasons. It didn't improve fast enough. Okay, fine. They're in sixth place. Now, they're 4 points out of, like, 14th because it's very jumbled, but they're not that bad. They're not that great. I think they're going to have to spend... They're broke, too, by the way. Manchester United is broke. And they're talking about building a stadium that's going to cost $2 billion. And the ownership, their other businesses are struggling with debt. So Manchester United has to go out and sign better players to get better results. Doesn't matter who the manager is going to be. That's their problem. Chelsea, their problem. They have no patience. Enzo Maresca. This gets really complicated because Maresca has suddenly become in demand after winning the Club World Cup in the summer, after winning the UEFA Conference League, and after, I think, riding the ship at Chelsea. I think that's fair. They're better now, and this is what he said he was proud of. They're better now than they were when he arrived. That's good. But when Manchester City reportedly has people talking to him about, hey, if Pep Guardiola steps down, we'd like to bring you in, and he tells his bosses that, then Chelsea's kind of like, well, maybe he's not all the way with us. There were other clubs that were interested. Maybe he's not quite all the way with us. And you started to have these internal disputes, and both Amorim and Maresca publicly brought those internal disputes to the media and to the fore. And that's just not going to fly. And both are now gone. Maresca will be back in a job quickly, I would think, if he wants to be. He could be at Manchester United, which would be crazy. Amorim, I think his reputation does take a little bit of a hit. I want to see what his next move is. Unfortunately, Wilfried Nancy's reputation is going to take a hit after being in charge at Celtic for 33 days and having, I think, 12 training sessions. The job was not delivered to him properly. He was put in a position to fail. The club went out and spent the money and said that they wanted to modernize their way of playing and then didn't commit the time to doing it. Dumb. Absolutely dumb. You look at the games that he managed. He lost 6 of 8. He had, like, by far the XG advantage in 6 of those. This team played badly. That's not on the manager. That's on the players not being able to score goals. That's the defenders not being able to defend. And that's the team as a whole having a weak mentality. Whenever things started to fall apart, they then got worse. Celtic has bigger problems than this, but this is an extremely embarrassing situation for a club that used to be one of the biggest in the world. They are nowhere near that anymore. Don't let them tell you otherwise. They're not. Their league is not very strong. It's rated in the 30s in the world, according to people that have nothing to do with Major League Soccer. And Celtic and the Scottish League has an obsession with saying they're better than MLS, and they're not. And this shows it. It's a shame for Wilfried Nancy, who I think is one of the best younger managers in the world. I want to see what he does next. He should not have taken the job because I worried that he would get the commitment to actually build what he wanted to build. And ultimately, he did not. That is a shame, but I think it's going to end up hurting Celtic more than it'll hurt Wilfried Nancy in the long run. Let's go to Africa. The African Cup of Nations, the quarterfinals are set. They start on Friday. Cannot wait for these games. The biggest one is going to be the hosts, Morocco against Cameroon. Cameroon was the last team to win a competitive match in Morocco back in 2009. They knocked Morocco out in the semifinals the last time Morocco hosted the African Cup of Nations back in 1988. They kept them out of qualifying for the 1982 World Cup, qualifying for the 1994 World Cup. Cameroon has been the bogey team for Morocco forever. And Morocco is hosting this tournament with huge expectations for a big 2026. Massive game on Friday at 2 o'clock. Cannot wait for that. The other quarterfinalists, Senegal, Mali, that'll be a tricky game. Egypt, Nigeria, both have been good. Nigeria has been the best team so far in the tournament. Algeria and Morocco are your next best. Cote d'Ivoire is right there as well. It's going to be a really fun quarterfinals the rest of the way. It's been a great tournament to watch. Number three on the headlines, Manchester City. Ton of injuries defensively. They are probably going to have to go into the transfer window and spend a little bit. Ruben Dias is out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. Josko Vardiol is facing a long-term layoff with a leg break in his lower leg. Crazy situation with him. It didn't look that bad initially, but he's got a fracture. John Stones is still out sidelined. City's spine is gone. They're going to have to go into the transfer window and get some center backs. It's got to be targeted. It can't just be reckless, but they've also got to get something done quick because they're second in the Premier League. They're 6 points behind Arsenal. They are still in the mix in the Champions League as well. They've got to get something done fast to still be able to compete on both of those fronts. Number four, quickly, the Spanish Supercopa. It begins tomorrow. It's Barcelona, it's Real Madrid, it's Atletico Madrid, and it's Athletic Club of Bilbao. It's the top two teams from last year's La Liga season and the Copa del Rey finalists. They do it as a semifinal and a final. So Barcelona plays Athletic Club, then the Madrid derby, Atleti against Real Madrid. It is in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The final is on Sunday. This has become a big deal, and for Real Madrid especially, Xabi Alonso will be without Kylian Mbappe, and the pressure is on him to deliver this cup. If he doesn't, according to some reports out of Madrid, his job could be on the line. It has felt like his job's been on the line for about 3 months, and he only got there in the summer, but welcome to Real Madrid. All right, three things that make me smile about the game, and that kind of pressure is not one of them. Talked about it earlier. Number one, the quality and the drama of the African Cup of Nations. It's a great precursor to the World Cup coming up this summer. You get some teams like Morocco, like Egypt, like Cameroon, like Nigeria, like Cote d'Ivoire, like Algeria, teams that you expect to do well. And then you get some teams that shock you and surprise you. You get some great stories like DR Congo, who I think will qualify for the World Cup when they go through the playoff. You get some stories like Mozambique and Sudan and Tanzania getting to the knockout rounds and competing and really pushing. Benin took Egypt to extra time in a knockout game. Some great stories, great players. I'm really excited about the growth of the game in Africa, and I feel like, and I know some in Africa have said that they're not happy about going to a once every 4 years format for AFCON. I think going to that plus the Nations League on top of it will help the game grow even more in Africa. The Nations League will be a big accelerator for the game in Africa, and you'll get more and more players. You're going to see more and more players come to MLS, like Mbokazi going to Chicago. Number two, speaking of that, young players getting real chances in MLS, whether we're talking about homegrowns, whether we're talking about guys like Mbokazi, like Thomas Jakob, young players coming here, seeing how good it can be for their careers. Real roles. I love that this league is starting to allow young players to have those opportunities to make mistakes, yeah, and learn and get better. It's one of the best places in the world for young pros to actually play. And number three, a club that has allowed those young pros to actually play, Atlanta United. Season 10. I mean, this makes me smile because it's very personal. You know, I've called every game that has been on radio or TV. A couple times I got bumped over to TV, but I called that game. It's wild that we're going into season 10, double digits. It's wild that the storylines are kind of endless for this team coming in with Tata Martino coming back. Miguel Almiron back again for a second season. Can they get more goals? Can they get more stability? Can they get back into that mix? I like a good underdog story, and I like being a little underestimated. It could set up for a really fun year for Atlanta United. I'm looking forward to telling the story with you alongside Mike Conti starting at the end of January, but we still got a few weeks until then. Like I said before, no AST next Tuesday. It'll be next Friday. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe on social media. I'll keep you up to date on everything. Y'all have a good rest of the night, or whenever you are listening to this, have a good one. Adios, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.